Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos. I want to welcome all of our VFN Radio listeners from all around the country and the world. We're excited to be spending this time with you. With me today in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello,
hello. Hello. Man, it's so encouraging to be on VFN Radio and to get so much feedback from all of those that are listening. Listen, these are some exciting times that we're living in, and it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to live with the Lord, man. You know, you look at all this stuff, and I'm like, God, I'm so thankful and grateful that you saved me.
Amen.
That you saved me. Listen, this world is serious. This is the serious things that are going on. And our only hope is in the Lord. And I just, I'm grateful today. I am so totally grateful that God has saved me from all of my mess. Mm. And that he allows me to even communicate and talk with him. And I'm just forever grateful. I'm looking forward to be able to sharing more about that. But, and then this abiding moment, I wanted to share about living a surrendered life. Today, many people, Pat, they focus much of their attention on what others are writing about God's word than God, God's word. What I'm saying is books are cool and everything, but I mean, it comes to a point where we need to focus on not only the Bible, but it would do as well to focus on the words in red, Jesus's words.
Amen.
The words in red. And as I look at the landscape, of our culture and the church, I see how much of the culture has infiltrated the church rather than the church really infiltrating, the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear that the church, God's family, the body of Christ, is not to be like the world or even a subculture, but instead a counterculture, a culture that is completely opposite of the world. And the more I read the Word of God, and particularly Jesus' own words, I can't help to notice several things. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When you're just abiding and you're just soaking and you're meditating on Jesus and the things that Jesus did and how he lived his life and how he was a man, fully God, so humble, so obedient to the Father's desires, and he did and said nothing outside of what his Father instructed him to do. And so, why is this important today? Why do we need to focus and bring things back? Listen, I mean, we're living in some serious times. And there's never been, in all of history, there's never been a time where there has been so much Christian literature that's been available. I mean, I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, maybe, 18, 19 years ago, I wasn't aware of so many, books and mm-hmm. teachings and videos and audios. And I mean, there wasn't that much. And, mm-hmm. and today, there are books and all sorts of resources, yet you don't see that direct impact in the lives of many believers. You would think that with more,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
With more information, if you will, more helps, it would produce a deeper call, a deeper committed church that's totally sold out and surrendered to God.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have not seen that. And what I have been seeing is a watering down of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's become more and more diluted. I mean, Jesus said himself, Pat, that salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?
Right.
It's at that point worthless and just kind of throw it out. And it's like, man, the gospel here is getting watered down.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the commitment? Where is the sold out allegiance? And what we've seen in our culture is things that are completely different than what we've seen at the time, even with Jesus, even with the disciples, even in the early church. I mean, we have to get a grip and understand that Jesus didn't come so that we can be more comfortable. You know, we do live in America, but that's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to start a cute religion.
Right.
You know, he didn't come to start a way of life. And these are things that you hear people. I just like good old Christian values. I like. Well, listen, that's a byproduct of who God is. You know, we're going to have values, and things are going to, are going to, truths and values are going to come as a result.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't come for all that. So he didn't come so that we can come together once a week and have a nice, a couple of songs and a little sermonette and, you know, a rah-rah, sis, kumbah, pep rally type of thing and then go back to our lives. And he didn't come to give us an upgrade, a better life. He came to give us life. He brought us such a major shift into the world, into our existence. And he came so that every single person can accept him and his finished work on the cross, you know, and to receive him as Lord and Savior, you know. And I talk about this often because I just can't escape where I see it everywhere I go. I can't escape the reality of people just wanting to just water down the gospel and saying that you can put on Jesus like you can put on a jacket, or you can try him out, or, you know, these are good principles. And it's like, look, Jesus came to take over.
That's right.
He came to be the king of our hearts. I mean, we talk about, you know, being we hear a catchphrase that's been around in the news a lot, you know, a transformational person, a transformational, you know, agenda. Listen, Jesus was truly and still is the most transformational figure who has ever walked the face of this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not someone that you can actually be passive about. You know what I mean? You can't be on passive about the Lord. You can be on one side or the other. And he just didn't come and die for our sins so that, again, we can have a better life. He came so that we can have life. But we must make it clear with our own personal lives for all to see that Jesus is worthy of us giving him our entire life. That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important because if you don't give God your entire, what are you giving him? You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. this is what he requires. Everything. And coming to Jesus is not about saying a nice prayer or going to quote-unquote church. It's about following God and loving him with all of your mind, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Listen, that's not radical Christianity. That's normal Christianity. It's normal. It's normal for Jesus to be the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning, before your feet even hit the floor. It is normal that when you lay your head to bed, the Lord is the last person on your mind. It's normal to go to bed with thinking about scriptures and meditating throughout the day with the word of the Lord on your heart. It's normal to have to be stirred in your spirit with worship and just praying and wanting to share Jesus with people you come in contact with. That's normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's not radical. But have we been infiltrated? Has the church been infiltrated by the world? Jesus is looking for sold out lovers of God.
That's right.
I mean, plain and simple, sold out lovers for God. And these are Jesus' own words to his disciples. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that came around and started hanging around the Lord, you know, and said, this is amazing. And look at the miracles and look at the signs and looking, at the wonders. And it's amazing. People, you know, they'll come, they want to get blessed. They want to see miracles. They want to see what God can do for them. But then Jesus begins to speak very clearly. And he starts speaking to the disciples. And it's basically like, you know, let's not get this twisted. Let me explain to you what this is all about here,
right?
Okay? And he begins in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, I just want to make it plain to you guys. If you want to walk this walk and go on this journey with me, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. I mean, it's not even like a suggestion. It's not like, you know, you may want to. Jesus, right from the onset, right from the giddy up here, okay? He's saying, look, the way to me is you must deny yourself. And is that something that's even heard of today? If you tell anyone to deny themselves and it's like, you know, oh my goodness, don't say that. Say anything but that. But Jesus says you got to deny yourself. Yeah. You got to take up your cross, you know, come to me. Come to the place of no return, right? Get on this cross and follow me. These are probably the most overlooked instructions that Jesus has given. They're just most ignored or overlooked. The call to follow Jesus means that we are completely surrendered to him. He's not just Savior. He's not, you know, lucky rabbit's foot. He's not a good charm. He's not a better way of life. He's not about 25 principles to a better us. It's about a total radical commitment to this loving Savior who's actually rescued us from the pit of hell, from bondage, from darkness. And, you know, I'm always encouraged when I hear people's testimonies, Pat, about what God has done for them, you know. And sometimes the enemy would try to tempt believers to be ashamed of where they came from, or not to bring that up, or to think that they're so far removed from that. You know, that's when I didn't know God and I was a heathen or a sinner. It's like, come on, man. If Jesus took one finger off of us, does God just he just let us alone for a minute? Would it be so, I would be so back in that pile of just junk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it part of just loving is to take time to remember, where did God bring you from? What depths did he bring you from? You can't help but feel a gratitude and indebtedness. Today, believers are acting like they're doing God a favor by showing up.
Right.
You know, today they act like they're doing God a favor by tipping God and not bringing him honor. You know, listen, tithes, offerings, this is not about, God does not need our money. But it's completely and totally a heart issue. And that's a telltale sign. I mean, it's like catch a clue. These are simple minor things. These are simple minor things. But when God has our heart, he has everything. We don't, you know, by the way, you know, God requires 100%. You know what I mean? You know, he requires everything. He just, you know, we give him 10%. But I mean,
he lets us keep the other 90.
Exactly. Exactly. And by the way, you're not limited to 10%, by the way. You can give as much as your heart desires.
That's right.
But you're not limited. But it's about showing God honor. And so denying ourselves is really the first step. You know, I remember when the Lord made this plain to me, this is something I've just have read so over and over and over again, because I want to follow hard after him. You know, and I've looked at my life and times I've slipped, and it's like, Lord, I want to stay on this path, you know, and you can, you can. It's been 19 years I've been following the Lord. You can.
That's right.
You can run hard after God, and you can fan the flame in your heart. But oftentimes what gets in the way of going deeper in the things of God is you.
Right.
You know, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to be selfless in terms of the Lord. I mean, selflessness begins to open the door. It opens the door to living this life where God can begin to move in you and through you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not selfless, you haven't even begun the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to deny yourself. The second thing is you got to take up your cross. Jesus is saying, listen, come to live a crucified life. This isn't about your dreams, your desires, any of this stuff. It's about you coming to the Lord and surrendering your life to him, and then he will direct you. He will guide you. He will instruct you. When you give him your heart, then you're just happy to do whatever it is the Lord has before you to do. And then the last thing he says, now you can follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're ready. Now you can come on this journey. And many people are struggling in their walk with God, Pat, today. They're struggling because they've tried to bypass the first two steps and say, well, I'm following God. It's like, look, you can't follow God and follow yourself, too. It's not going to work.
Right.
You know, that's you're going to be in a constant state of turmoil, of frustration, And you're just fooling yourself. You got to come to the cross and be completely surrendered. And then in verse 25, this is what Jesus says. And he says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." Now, Jesus is saying this to Peter because, you know, and to the rest of the disciples there, because just before this, Peter's telling Jesus, "Hey, you can't go to the, you can't go to Jerusalem. You can't do this." Mm-hmm. And Jesus looks directly and Peter says, "Hey, look, get behind me, Satan, for you don't have the things of God on your mind. You have the things of man on your mind." Mm-hmm. And it's like Peter was trying to help Jesus to preserve his life. And is like, "Don't you understand? This is why I came. This is why I came." And God, you know, he has given us an example. He's given us an example for us to follow. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about this more, and we're going to talk about living a surrendered life, a life totally given to the Lord. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Healthy communication is vital for a healthy marriage. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and a lack of talking truthfully can harm your relationship. Here's family counselor Dr. Randy Carlson.
I think a great discussion within a marriage relationship is, when do we feel closest? What's happening in the relationship when we feel that? But I would encourage a woman to sit down with her husband and honestly talk about this. Again, I think it's so often what happens is disrespect shows up, words start to fly, people withdraw from each other, a wall goes up, sexual games start to get played, as opposed to just being honest.
Be proactive and protect against problems by being honest with your spouse about what's working and what's not working in your relationship. Then stop by focusonthefamily.com/marriage for more trusted advice.
God is doing some amazing, amazing things. If you missed our earlier program, you need to get a perspective of a crying out for justice with Pastor Saeed. Remember, we're four programs back to back. If you missed any, you can catch them at VFNTV.com, get download our app or whatever. We want to keep a continual conversation with you with that, because we've got to have a perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. The reason why is because God's going to hold you accountable. Mm. God is going to hold each of us accountable. We stand alone before God. And that's how you can just be confident that you're just doing what you can with what God has entrusted to you, and you're being faithful. And one thing that we want to do, and the Lord's really spoken to us about this, that, you know, stay in relationship with us. We'll stay in relationship with you as long as the Lord will allow us, and say, you know what, let's continue this broadcast around the nation and around the world. But he's shown us some very hopeful things. And if we will trust him in this, and if we will believe him and begin to speak these things out while getting our heart, it's not like a default setting, like we can stay in rebellion and stay in sin and continue to, you know, all these wrong things, mm-hmm. and it's going to happen. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and turn and pray to God, he says, listen, he'll hear and he'll change things. And I believe he's going to change things regionally. He's going to change things state by state. So you can be in a state that's lost their state of mind, the original intent, or you can be in a city that's lost their state of mind, and you can say, you know what, this particular city is like the city that Lot was in, so I'm going to find me another city under a man or woman of God who loves God, who hears from God, and I'm going to plant myself right there, and that's where me and my family are going to sow, we're going to be faithful to God. We're going to pray God for that, pray that God would cover us in the context of that and speak to us, and we're going to obey God in that. And maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Truly, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Our hope, and we are hearing the Lord, as many are, and our goal is just to communicate that to you so you could be all that God has called you to be. And find out more at VFNDreamCenter.com, VFNDreamCenter.com for more details on that. You can join us virtually or join us on the Gulf Coast. We're located in the Pensacola area, but also reaching around the nation and the world with It's exciting.
It's exciting.
It's exciting what God is doing. We call it the dream because it's what God said. And we're just doing what he said. And it's amazing how that's taken. That's why we're here. That's why we're here talking to you right now. God said it. We're just doing it.
That's right.
Just doing what God said.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat, and we were talking before the break about living a surrendered life. You know, I love my brothers in the Lord and the family of God that the Lord's connected me with. It's, you know, oftentimes we're always talking about our relationship with God and what God is saying and how God is challenging us. And so that's always on our heartbeat. And I love that. I love being a part of the community and the body of Christ that really wants to follow hard after the heartbeat of God. You know, I'm challenging myself. Me and Pat were talking even during the break that, you know, I don't want to talk about anything else. I want to talk about Jesus. I want to be his heartbeat. I want to hear what other people are saying and what God's saying to them, rather, you know, about what's going on and how they're being challenged and how we can live a more surrendered life and looking for more ways to be grateful. And Jesus is telling the disciples, you know, straight up, hey, listen, if anyone's going to come after me, you got to do a couple things here. You've got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross. And then you can come and follow me. And I think a lot of people are struggling today with their walk because they're trying to follow a God that they haven't surrendered their life to. And the issue is you got to surrender. Listen, Jesus said, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. And in verse 26, he says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, Pat, and yet he forfeits his own soul? Mm-hmm. When you really think about the magnitude of Jesus' words, it's good to pause, you know, and reflect a little bit here, you know? Right. Gain the whole world. That's all of the money, all of the houses, all of the real estate, all of the toys and things that people chase after. You can gain all of that. I mean, really, at a certain point, how many houses can you live in at one time?
Hello?
How many shoes can you wear at one time? But we won't even go there, okay? I mean, how many cars can you drive? How many, you know, how many vacations and trips can you be? At a certain point, does it really become a vacation when every 3 months you're going somewhere? I mean, a vacation is a rest from doing work, but if your job is resting every day,
right.
I mean, at what point is it enough?
Right.
And then he says, you know, And what good will it be if you do that? And then he says, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, what can you give in an exchange? What can it be worthy enough for you to exchange for eternity? And all we have to do is just look at what's happening in the world around us. When you look at just one person, Steve Jobs, this man has done things in the world that very few people could ever do. He revolutionized at least three major industries: the movie industry with Pixar, the music world with iTunes, and the phone. You know, I mean, just with the iPhone. I mean, that's major stuff. His products revolutionized how we listen to music, how we view things, how we use smartphone technologies.
Right.
And yet, Pat, with all those billions of dollars, all those amazing inventions. I mean, when you're worth billions of dollars, I would dare say you could get the best medical attention in the world.
You would think. That's right.
But yet all of that money, all of that favor, all of that access to anything that could be produced on earth still could not buy his health or could guarantee him the future of his soul.
That's right.
And so the thing is that we have to pause here. You know, I've spoken to so many people on their deathbeds, and I've preached a ton of funerals, and I've been to a ton of funerals, and it's so sobering when the person's life is coming to the end. I mean, we talked about on a previous program how time is like sand in an hourglass, and the day God knows the day we're born, he knows the day we're going to pass away, but what lies in the middle are just seconds, they're moments. And how the average person spends 37 minutes a day on Facebook and social media in a month at 17 hours. It's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. And it's time. And I'm talking to the church. I'm talking for those of us that love the Lord. Are we where we want to be? Are we following and pursuing God? Or are we trying to put God in our comfortable American culture, our comfortable American box? Are we distracted by every shiny object that comes our way?
Right.
Oh, distraction. I started out the race good, but then I got distracted here and I got distracted there. And it's like, oh, I got to start back up again, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, come on. Are we going to stay on the path, or are we going to be pulled away by every shiny object that comes our way? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to live a life devoted to the Lord? And so I want to encourage you as we share more about this and talk about a surrendered life. You know, hopefully we'll have time to talk about Chinese believers and Christians and what's happening in their life and how they're so committed to running hard after the Lord. Jesus has given us this formula. He's told us what to do. He said, listen, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Beloved, I'm inviting you to walk with me and follow with me. And if you lose your life, this thing you think is so important, I will give you a better life than you could ever dream of. Jesus has so much more for you, but it comes at the foot of the cross. Let's lay our lives down for him. He's already done it for us. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Just Fishing Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fishing Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big. And no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have 4 programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com. But don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up. And every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program. Mm-hmm. And you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says, visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFN TV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton. We want to welcome all of our VFN radio listeners all around the country and the world. We're so excited to be with you guys today. And on our previous programs, you've got to catch our previous programs. We've been talking about living a surrendered life and how important that is. I mean, you know, a surrendered life to the Lord is actually having a real life, you know. But at the end of the day, when we count all of our minutes and all of our time and there's an actual inventory and accountability for how we spend our time, listen, I want to have invested time, Pat. I want to make sure that the ledgers look really good, that, you know, I've spent time with him. And when I see him, I don't want him like, do I know, you know what I mean? I want us to continue our conversation right where we left off, and we were just talking about how important that is to fully surrender 100% of our lives. And I think about our brothers and our sisters in China and the committed life that they have. You know, China obviously is a communist country. They don't have the freedoms that we have in our country, the United States, and yet their walk with God, Pat, is I mean, just fire, committed.
It's amazing.
Amazing. And we want you to listen to the testimony, a brief testimony, about a few minutes, where Glenn Beck is interviewing a woman who has helped save countless Christians from Chinese labor camps, and a little bit of her story and what she was able to overcome. You got to listen to this. Listen up.
And how much longer? How long were you in prison?
2 months.
Was the address book still there?
Actually, not. At that time, it happened. My brother visited us. They took my brother with us and keep him in detention center for more than 24 hours.
Bob.
And they keep me and my brother in one room. Before they let my brother go, I told my brother, yeah, get the address book out of my house.
You know, last time you were here, we talked about things that I don't think Americans even think about in China. You know, it's just China and, well. It is really a horrific, horrific system that America and the rest of the world just turns a blind eye to.
Mm-hmm.
She's in prison. I can't imagine what you're thinking is happening to your wife while she is in prison. And then you come here. You were just with Congress, 2 weeks ago?
Just last week.
Mm-hmm. And begged, please, let me get to the White House, talk to the president, and have him release some political prisoners.
Yeah, like Lisa's dad and many others.
And what happened?
Well, I was told that the White House basically declined and said no.
Well, why do you think that is?
I think it's a kind of a mentality of appeasement to the dictators and maybe act as out of fear of China's retaliation. You know, China, or we allow China to buy so much national debts or bonds, mm-hmm. and we become slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the kind of a mentality that at least the current administration, well, we own China now, and you know, we we cannot really have the courage to stand up on the human rights issue.
You guys are still working to free people in China.
Yes.
You still travel back, don't you? Do you travel back in or not?
Not. No.
Would none of you guys would get out? Would you?
I was told it could be a one-way ticket for me, and although Heidi was able to travel back twice in the past.
Do you see any place in the world that is standing up and saying, this is wrong? Do you see any country that's holding up the banner of real freedom?
Yeah, I mean, China has jailed really many more prisoners of conscience than the numbers combined, by any all other countries combined. And we have just, this week there will be a major political trial for a number of political prisoners for simply putting up a banner of saying, Communist Party leaders and disclose your property and disclose your wealth. Wow. And post it online, and they're all arrested. And you have house church leaders are sitting in the cold prison and sentenced to 15 years.
All right.
This is so amazing. When you're listening, you listen to Heidi and Bob Fu. Bob Fu is the president of China Aid. And you're hearing their story. This is happening today, Pat. This is the 20th century. This is not in 1800s here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about folks, believers that have been persecuted. I mean, Heidi has spent 2 months in prison, and just the sovereignty of God, she was able to get the little address book with all of the believers' names. She was able to hide it where her brother was able to find it, and they were never able to get those Christians. Mm-hmm. But, the person that they had previously on the program was a woman by the name of Lisa Peng, and she shared her testimony where the last time she saw her father, Pat, was for her 7th birthday, and basically he was called to provide a safe haven for persecuted Christians for these in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And basically he was lured over to Burma and was later arrested, and he spent tons of time in prison. He had heart attacks. He had arthritis. He was malnourished. All the things that he suffered for. And I think about our brothers and sisters and their commitment to the Lord. And it's not just about them spurring us on and us comparing our lives to them. It's saying, look, we need to look at Jesus Christ himself and say that he's worthy. We need to have the full revelation of who God is and what he's done for us, and to live a life of gratitude. And to say that if we had 1,000 lives, we'd give him 1,000 lives, but we only have one. We only have one to give him, and to really meditate on all that Jesus has done for us. He is worthy of that type of commitment, of a complete surrender and devotion. And I'm encouraged by their life. I'm encouraged by what they have endured. And I'm telling you that I feel that we're going to begin to see, even in this country, persecution like we've never seen it before. And what's going to help us to endure to the end is the knowing, our knowing of Jesus Christ, not intellectually, not in our minds, but knowing him because we've walked with him and we talked with him and we received his love and we've loved him back. Church, we can do it. We can do it. Let this be the year of radical surrender. Let this be the year that we say, Jesus, forgive me for ever holding anything back. I want to live only for your eyes and only to do your will.
It is time. Mm-hmm. It is time for the citizenship game. Oh, my goodness. We've been doing this. There's several questions and 100 questions, actually, for the U.S. citizenship test. And this is the test you have to take to become an American citizen. We're finding out, as we are giving it to ourselves, that we might not know these questions, answer these questions. And it's so important. I mean, how can we hold people to accountable to what we don't even know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And when you hear people thinking, hey, I want to be able to be an American citizen, Ask them these questions, you know. And I truly believe, you know, talk to your congressman, talk to your senator, and ask them, could you pass this test? Could your staff pass this test? And do you bear fruit in keeping with these answers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so important because we got to get back to the original intent. There's something going on, and the supreme law of the land is the U.S. Constitution, and we have to know this. And so we have a lot of fun with it, and but it's just like it's big, too. It's like, my goodness, we're learning. We're kind of using each question for a teachable moment if it is. But here we are, the U.S. Citizenship Test, 5 questions for today. And I'm going to ask first Pat a question, then I'm going to ask John a question. And you got to make sure now that you, when you say you're ready to give the answer, that that is your final answer. And, of course, if you get it right, everybody is going to celebrate it. And if you get it wrong, here's the first question. First question is going to Pat. Question on the U.S. citizenship test. If both the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes president? If the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes the president? That was quick. Oh, my goodness. This study is doing good, man. It's like, man, it's making us pretty pay close attention. So here's the question. For citizenship, so you don't have to self-deport, according to the GOP, if both the president and the vice president can no longer serve, Pat, who becomes the president?
And that would be the Speaker of the House.
Oh, my goodness. Whoa. That's good. Oh, wow. Totally good. That's so important because, you know, the Speaker of the House right now, okay, this is the next part. Who's the Speaker of the House?
Boehner.
Very good. Oh, my goodness. Ooh. Yeah, right. Who's your senator?
Right. Mark Rubio. Yeah.
Wow,
he's
good.
Googled up.
I'll Google that, man.
And that means then John Boehner is third in line for the presidency of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It means that who was the Speaker of the House before John Boehner?
Nancy Pelosi
was third in line for the president of the United States. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, when, you know, not staying on top of this, I don't even know, remember being taught this in school, but when you're watching politicians, sometimes you have a tendency to bring them all into one category, not realizing, well, no, this particular group of politicians are representing one branch of government. And this particular politician is using another branch of government. And, you know what I'm saying? You got to see them differently because they're different. And it looked in history quite often, you would say, you know, what are you doing? You know, Congress, you're just messing things up. You know, the House of Representatives, why you're bringing all this not knowing, that's what you start thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just putting a stick in my wheel. You know, you're breaking one of my spokes. You're causing it. You know, the thing is, no, they're representing their districts.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to listen to the House of Representatives. And this is how important the House of Representatives are, is whoever they choose to be the leader. And what happens is you have Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. Hopefully, you know, that we'll have more parties in the future because the two-party system will be part of the stake that's driven into the heart of this nation and will kill it. But and what they do is whoever has, if they're the majority of Democrats, or if there's a majority of Republicans in the House of Representatives, they'll be the ones in charge.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be in charge, and they themselves choose a speaker from, I think, seniority pretty much is how they do it. But they can unchoose them, too.
Mm-hmm.
They can fire a speaker and switch to somebody else. And so this is a very important body. You know, Congress is very important, even so much so that the Speaker of the House, so whoever the majority is in Congress, in the House of Representatives, they will actually choose a speaker, but what they're really choosing is the third in line for presidency.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important because, think about it, it's just, you know, 2 heartbeats away, but you have the president, the vice president, And then you actually have the speaker, and it changes. I mean, if anything would have happened, we said before, you know, prior to when Nancy Pelosi was the Speaker of the House, she would have been the first female president.
And now, President Nancy Pelosi. The understanding that is just like we need to pay attention because they're picking third in line for presidency when they're picking the Speaker of the House.
Huge.
The third in line for presidency. So it's pretty relevant. So we want to remember that when you're thinking about the House of Representatives, not Senate, but when you're thinking about the House of Representatives, mm-hmm. Congress is both the House of Representatives and the Senate. But when you talk about them individually, it would be the Senate and it would be the House of Representatives. So now here is question number two. And this question is going to go to John. John, here's the question on the U.S. citizenship test, and Immigration Services, by the way, gives it, is important so that you don't have to self-deport, as we're talking about. Oh. Who is, think about this, who is the commander-in-chief of the military? Who is the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military? Oh, here it is. For the citizenship test, your next particular question is, who is the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military?
What is the president of the United States?
Hey, you got it. Very good. So that means that President Obama is over the U.S. military. This is why when I said it concerns me that when the president says we want to have so many spies now, in the Pentagon that dwarfs, a different word than he used, dwarfs CIA and the number of spies they have.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're saying is that I want to be the commander-in-chief of a whole bunch of spies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Congress is over the CIA, but the president is commander-in-chief over the military.
Mm-hmm.
And so putting that kind of power under one branch versus one person.
Mm-hmm.
Versus all these different people in Congress. Sure. They have all these different voices that kind of help bring, you know, balance. It's supposed to be difficult to be able to maneuver this country. It's designed that it's a long, tedious process. So somebody says, we just need to push something through. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're not designed that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things that have been pushed through, we always end up regretting, such as the health care bill. They read it and it didn't read it.
Didn't.
But they voted it, and they openly said we didn't read it, which means they violated their very oath of office to be able to do that. And so when you're talking about the commander-in-chief of U.S. forces, so when you hear something such as two military men have been killed, along with the U.S. ambassador in Benghazi, it's right to question the president, the commander-in-chief of the military. Why did this happen? How come there wasn't any protection for him there? And, I mean, it's 9/11. Dear God, mm-hmm. It's 9/11. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be the day that you would have somebody there. So you don't go to Congress and find out why don't they have somebody there. You go to the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military, and you ask him, you know, why wasn't there military support right there? Congress would ask the Secretary of State, who's over that as well, and she would have to report to Congress themselves because those cabinet offices, I won't say too much because I'll give away the test, in the context of that. So the president is commander-in-chief over the U.S. military, and so he has direct implementation of his desires over the forces. That's why he says, I'm going to bring some troops home from Iraq mm-hmm. or from Afghanistan, or I'm not. And he can't blame it on anybody if he's the commander-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one responsible for that. Okay, the next question goes to Pat. For the U.S. citizenship test, who signs bills... Who signs bills to become laws? Pat, for the next question, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Who signs bills to become laws?
the president.
Yay! Very, very good. It's interesting that we're talking about, it almost seems like today that we're seeing the president, the executive branch, create laws called policies, and he signs them, and nobody else had anything. One man's exactly. creating these, they don't call them laws, they call them regulations that actually have, you know, consequences, financial consequences and freedom consequences and property consequences for Americans. But Congress is supposed to make the laws, and the executive branch, the president, is supposed to sign the laws. And when he signs the law, they become in power. They become, you know, an act of, it goes from a bill to a law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, a bill is just that. People starts off and say, you know, I'd like to be able to have a park, a federal park in our state. They put it together. They present it to Congress. Congress sets up committees. They talk about it, you know, whatever. They listen to citizens about it. And they decide, hey, we're going to make this a bill. We're going to make a bill for a park in their state. And so they put it together and they vote on it. And all of the House representatives majority says, yeah, this is, we want a park in, you know, whatever state, New Jersey or whatever you're in. Then it goes to the Senate and it starts all over again. And the Senate takes it to committees and they begin to discuss it. And they want to bring in citizens and they can totally not vote for it or vote for it. And then they actually say, they get together and they vote, a majority of the senators vote for the bill, but it's still a bill.
Mm-hmm.
And once it goes to the president, that's when it moves from a bill to a law, when he signs it, which is very, very important. John, here's the next question on the U.S. citizenship test. Who vetoes bills? Who vetoes bills? Well, that's great. Here you go. The citizenship test, John, to prevent self-deportation. Who vetoes bills?
That would be the president.
Yeah, the president, exactly. Which is pretty powerful when you think about it. You know, when you hear that all of the House representatives got together through committees and they put together all these desires and this bill together, they voted, a majority voted for it. Then it goes to the Senate, and the Senate does the very same thing. They get their committees, they go through it, they all vote for it. And that there's such equal powers between the executive branch and the legislature branch that one man, the president of the United States, can decide that it's not what he wants or he thinks his constituents wants, and he can actually veto it and say, nope, I'm not going to make it a law. That's the power of the executive branch.
Wow.
But what's more powerful than that is an executive branch that makes all these regulations that are just like laws, and everybody brings Congress into it. And we don't want that. We want the government that's been set up by our founding fathers, and that's what the Constitution does. It sets up the government, its powers, limited powers, and all that. And that we want them. We want a large group of Americans that are diverse, that are together thinking this thing through, and we want them to struggle. We don't want one man. We don't want a king. We want a president and a legislative branch and a judiciary branch like we have. And also, there's one trivial thing here as well, that the president, if the president doesn't want to veto it, he doesn't want that on his record where he vetoed or stopped something, how many days, this is not one of the questions on the test, so either one of you guys can answer this, how many days, I mean, how can that bill become a law without the president signing it into law, or the president vetoing and stopping? How can it become a law? Buzz in at any time. All right. Is that you buzzing in, John?
No, that's not me buzzing.
Was that you buzzing in, Pat?
That wasn't me.
He just lets it stay on his desk for like 10 days. If it stays on his desk for 10 days and he doesn't do anything, it automatically becomes a law. Isn't that amazing?
Interesting.
Yeah, so he doesn't have this veto thing on him. He didn't sign it into law, but it automatically becomes a law.
Mm.
Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Pretty interesting.
Wow. Pretty powerful office then. Here's the last question. The last question's going to
me.
Maybe in Pat. Okay, here's the question. The final question for today on the citizenship test is, What does the president's cabinet do? What does the president's cabinet do? This is wonderful. Here we are. The last question for today on the citizenship test for Pat, so you don't have to self-deport, is what does the president's cabinet do?
They give him advice.
Oh, very good.
Very good.
Yes, yes. They advise the president, and there's a wisdom in a multitude of counsel, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his choices, a particular president's choice of who they're going to surround themselves with is important, because that's where they're going to get advice. No particular one man knows everything, and so they're going to bring these people who have expertise in these different areas, supposedly, that are going to advise you, and because ultimately you as the president have to make a choice and a decision. The buck stops with you. At least it did with Harry Truman. It stops with everybody but you, with some particular presidents. But so that's it. This totally ends today's citizenship test. You've been listening to us attempt to learn and to grow and say, you know what? We need to learn these things. If we haven't learned them, if we have learned them and forgot them, we need to know what the original intent was for our country and what citizens or people who are actually immigrants who are desiring to be citizens, what they have to do.
AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs, cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.